Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are coming to the final moments of our preparation for Christmas in the fourth Sunday of Advent today. A moment of joy and anticipation as we look forward to celebrating the good news, the very best news that had ever reached this earth, the news of God's coming to us, to live with one of us, coming as a little child in humility and peace and simplicity. I think that keynote of simplicity can serve to pull together for us the different thoughts that come to us from today's Bible readings. First of all, if we think about where this took place, Bethlehem, very simple, small little town. We heard the prophecy in the first reading of the prophet Micah, one of the earlier biblical prophets. He lived about 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to earth. And he said the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. But Bethlehem, he says, is too small to be among the clans of Judah. It was very insignificant in the tribal organization of the Israelites then. But God chooses what is small and insignificant so often to bring about his great purposes. And then the other town we've heard about is even less significant in the gospel today. Its name is not even given. It's just a hill town in Judah. Actually, the name of that little village is Ein Karim. How do I know that? Because twice I have been on pilgrimages to the Holy Land, once with our dear sister Philip Marie, who many of you know, leading the tour. And it's not far from Bethlehem, as a matter of fact. It's up in the hills outside of Jerusalem. And it's a beautiful place now because when you go, that's where Mary visited Elizabeth. The visitation, second joyful mystery of the rosary that we have just heard in today's gospel. And when you go there today, there's a beautiful church, Catholic church run by the Franciscan fathers who look after the Holy Land places. And around that church is a lovely garden, and it's a walled garden with big high walls enclosing the garden. And around that wall, in dozens and dozens, maybe more than 100 different languages, you have stone plaques inscribed with the words of Mary's hymn of praise, the famous Magnificat. My soul proclaims the glory of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In 50 different, a wonderful testimony to the universal nature of the gospel. Those simple words that Mary proclaimed under the Holy Spirit when she visited Elizabeth, now some of the most famous words in history and inscribed in all these languages when you visit the place where Mary went that we hear about in today's gospel. And if we think about that, what happened during Mary's visit to Elizabeth, the keynote of simplicity comes to mind again. What could be more simple than a little unborn child? And yet two unborn children are the key figures in this little account. The unborn Jesus in the first place. And what does Elizabeth say when Mary comes to visit her? As soon as your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. A little miracle there, the infant unborn, John the Baptist, recognized, sensed the presence of the Son of God. Of course, he too was to have a very special mission, which we've been remembering in Advent. You know, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, soon to be Saint Teresa, you probably saw the news that the Pope has declared that she's approved another miracle at her intercession, and within a year's time, she'll be Saint Teresa of Calcutta. She had a very beautiful saying. She once said, so relevant for our times, said that we should never forget that apart from Our Lady herself, The very first person to recognize and greet the Son of God coming into this world was an unborn child. Little John the Baptist. What more wonderful proof could we ask from the scriptures of the true humanity of little babies even before they're born? Something we so badly need to remember at this time when millions are being killed in the womb of their mother by the crime of abortion. And focusing on Elizabeth for a moment, the way that she greeted her young niece or cousin, we don't know exactly what the relationship was, but the way she greeted Mary is very significant for us. Just a few simple words again, but they're so packed full of meaning. You know, a lot of our separated brothers and sisters in other Christian Protestant churches don't like our Marian devotion. They don't think we should honor in a special way the Mother of God. Well, that's not what we read in the scriptures here. Elizabeth gives to us, in just a few words, a message that really is a model for all of our Catholic devotion to the Mother of God. You think about it. She would have known little Mary. She's older, of course, from the time she was just a little baby girl. And she's always thought of her, well, you lovely, holy, sweet, simple young girl. But she wouldn't have known that Mary was anybody special until now. The Holy Spirit, St. Luke says specifically, inspired her. And how does she react now? She realizes that this young girl coming to visit her is not just any sweet young holy girl. She is so elevated by God's plan that Elizabeth's instinctive reaction is she's not worthy even for this wonderful, special chosen young girl to come into her house. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to visit me? Elizabeth shows us with that response there, inspired by the Holy Spirit, exactly the kind of awe and honor and love that we should have for Jesus' most holy mother. Again, that simple reaction of Mary, of Elizabeth rather, shows us in a little few words the essence of all of our loving devotion to the Mother of God. And finally, dear brothers and sisters, the note of simplicity comes again in the second reading we heard today from the letter to the Hebrews. In that passage, St. Paul is talking about how the sacrifices of animals and birds that the Jewish people had to carry out under the old law, they were just a preparation. They weren't the real sacrifice that was going to save us. We all know, of course, that the real sacrifice that saves us from our sins is Jesus dying on the cross. But it's worth remembering, and that second reading reminds us today, that it wasn't just Jesus' death as a physical fact, an awful, cruel way of execution. It wasn't just his death as such that saves us. It's the fact that he voluntarily offered his whole self to God, accepting that, offering it to the Father for our salvation. That inner sacrifice, that inner offering of himself, that's the real essence of how Jesus saves us. Obedience to the Father, even unto death on the cross. And that's summed up by just six words that are repeated in our second reading today. Quoting one of the Psalms that refers to the Messiah, what's his approach? What's his attitude? It's summed up in the words, I come to do your will. That summarizes beautifully, in just simple words, the whole of the mystery of our redemption. God is coming to us, to be one of us. Why? to do the will of the Father. And perhaps we can just take away from this fourth Sunday of Advent that very simple message. What does God want of us at this time when so much is complicated, right? At this time we're all organizing gifts and presents and parties and celebrations, and that's all wonderful, but something much more simple is above all what God wants. He wants us just to offer our hearts and our wills, seeking to do God's will day by day in whatever situation he places us. Let's all say together with Jesus in our hearts, his own words, I come to do your will. If that's our attitude, if that's how we prepare for Christmas and our offering to God will be truly pleasing to him and to our Savior's most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, his mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.